This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer. The NPR 100 is our list of the 100 most significant American musical works of the 20th century. And today we feature not just one song, but an entire album. In 1985, Paul Simon went to South Africa after hearing some of that country's music. He knew little about South Africa or its musicians, but the result of his trip was an album that some have called the greatest achievement of his career, Graceland. Elizabeth Blair reports.
Paul Simon's Graceland has nothing to do with Elvis Presley, certainly not the album, and Simon concedes not even really the song. "I'm going to Graceland" was just one of those annoying phrases that got stuck in his head.
Finally, I said, it looks like I'm not going to lose it. Maybe I better go to Graceland, because I've never even been there.
So on a trip to Louisiana, he drove up to Memphis to visit the Elvis Presley estate.
That's where the first verse came. The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I was riding up Highway 61 through Mississippi, following the river through the cradle of the Civil War. That's where that verse came from.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland.
I didn't have that verse before I got there. I'm going to Graceland. Now it starts to make sense because at least I'm on a journey and I'm heading someplace.
Paul Simon's journey to South Africa began in New York when he fell in love with a cassette of South African music that a friend had given him. So he got in touch with its producer to find out if he could go there and record.
And Hilton Rosenthal said yes. That was no problem. Actually, what went on was they then put that to a vote with the Black South African Musicians Union. And they voted that, yeah, they thought it would be a good idea if I would come. With that invitation, I headed out with some trepidation to Johannesburg.
Rosenthal got in touch with as many musicians as he could. Over the course of 10 days, Simon, with help from his longtime engineer Roy Halley, listened and recorded in a studio in Johannesburg.
So I would say, well, just play anything you like. And then I'd say, oh, I really like that. Let's play that for a while. But after 16 bars, can we go here, and gradually begin to shape, to make a structure out of the grooves and to put chords in such a way that I could conceive of writing a song.
It was a slow day, and the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows, the bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo, the way we look to a song, the way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle.
In many ways, Paul Simon worked backwards on Graceland. The songwriter, known for his introspective lyrics, recorded the rhythm tracks before he'd even written a single word or melody. When he finally did get around to writing the words, they proved a little daunting for bassist Bigidi Kamalo. He was working as a mechanic in Johannesburg when he got the call to play for Simon, who eventually invited him to New York to complete the songs. Kamalo says he and the musicians had to figure out how to make room for Simon's lyrics.
Because, he's a songwriter. When he sings on the rhythm should be open so that, because he's got so much words, so many words that he sings. It's a story, it's got like a long story. It's like he doesn't repeat, It's like the story goes on.
Paul Simon says perhaps one of the reasons for all of those words is that he remembers everything.
She moves so easily, all I could think of was sunlight. I said, aren't you the woman who was recently given a Fulbright? She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know, I'll sing what I've said.
Simon took a lot of flack for traveling to South Africa in 1985. Both the United Nations Committee Against Apartheid and the African National Congress denounced him for violating the cultural boycott. Simon defended himself by saying that he went there on his own, he wasn't performing, and he wasn't taking money out of the country. For the Johannesburg sessions, he paid the musicians more than American Union players would have made, and he shared writers' royalties with some of them. Inside the studio, Simon says there were few problems, apart from the occasional language barrier. But the racial tensions outside the studio were like nothing he'd ever seen before.
For example, the musicians would get into a panic somewhere around 4:30, 5 o'clock, that they had to finish up the session, get to their cars, and get out of Johannesburg, because they couldn't be in Johannesburg after dark unless they had special passes. The general feeling of pulling into a parking lot, if you were with black musicians, just the vibe of it was so palpably hostile that it was a shocker for me. And these people were living in it constantly and to a greater degree than I could possibly imagine.
Hey, baby, hey, beautiful girl, sing.
There was one South African group that Paul Simon liked but didn't record on his trip. The 10-member male a cappella group, Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Hey, baby, hey, sing.
Hey, baby, hey, 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 beautiful girl.
Simon says he was actually intimidated by the group's powerful singing, but ultimately decided he couldn't record Graceland without Ladysmith. He sent the singers a demo tape of a song he'd written, and founder Joseph Shabalala came up with an opening.
I think it was a good idea to have an introduction for Homeless. And I begin the song by singing, Emaweni webaba nkulunkulu wethu sisiza kuyabanda emaweni, which means, Father, we sleep in the cliff. It is very cold in the cliff. Please help us.
Emaweni webaba silale emaweni webaba
silale emaweni
webaba
silale emaweni webaba silale emaweni webaba silale.
And then Paul said, yeah, I was listening one of your record again, and I heard something. I love that. What is that, Paul? And I said, what is that? And all of a sudden it came to my mind. I said, you want that? He said, yes. I said, I know that. And we did that. Somebody say, somebody sing, hello, hello, hello.
Somebody say, somebody cry, why, why? Somebody say, somebody sing,
hello, hello, hello.
Somebody say, somebody cry, why, why?
Kulumane,
kulumane, kulumane sizwe.
Singenze njani,
bayajabula basithanda, yo.
Graceland was released in September 1986 to praise and criticism that Simon was appropriating a culture. Linda Ronstadt, who sang backup on one of the songs, says that's ridiculous.
I don't even remember what paper it was that accused him of musical colonialism. And I just thought, God, they have people like that. They have no idea of how of the process of making music. That the whole idea of music is that this person runs into that person and they start realizing that even though they're so different, they have music in common. All of music is a synthesis, particularly pop music. I thought he took a lot of completely silly and misplaced hits for that record, and that the music eventually spoke for itself and just came up to the surface. It just bobbed up to the surface like a cork.
In early memory,
station music was ringing around my nursery door. I said, take this child, Lord, from Tucson, Arizona. Give her the wings to fly in harmony, and she won't bother you no more.
6 months after the record came out, Paul Simon and the South African musicians embarked on a world tour. They were joined by exiled South African musicians Hugh Masekela and Miriam Makeba, both outspoken opponents of apartheid. Masekela said that while he supported the cultural boycott, Paul Simon has brought the music of South Africa to 10 million ears. That's never been managed before. Paul Simon says for him, Graceland was an extraordinary education, musically, culturally, and perhaps more than he expected, politically.
Because I was in the middle of it and had to explain and defend and think more deeply about what was going on. In fact, the idea of a cultural boycott that boycotted the very people who needed to have the world come in and look at them, it was an error. In a way, it's the same thing that goes on with Cuba now. The best idea is, let all the Cuban musicians come out and play. Let everybody go into Cuba. You want to have an effect on Cuba? Let the world in to see what's going on, and let the world come out and say, this is what's going on as far as I see.
And for Simon, Graceland was also a personal journey, whose message still has meaning for him 15 years later. A message that he says could be summed up in one of the verses in the song, You Can Call Me Al.
Life's incredible. It's not about whether I'm fat, why am I soft in the middle. It's not about you at all. It's about how incredible the whole journey is and what a marvel and what a miracle it is that we're alive.
For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Blair in Washington.
He looks around, he sees angels in the architecture, spinning in infinity. He says, amen, hallelujah, if you'd be my bodyguard.